From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Saturday, March 23rd, which means you're listening to a special weekend edition of the podcast featuring the Capitol Recap. This week, a look at which climate and environment bills are still alive near the midpoint of the session. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Yesterday was the final deadline for crossover, when bills have to be voted out of committee if they're going to be passed into law. There are some exceptions, but by and large, it's when we start to get a clearer sense for what's going to make it to the finish line at the end of the session and what policies are going to get left behind. To share which climate and environment bills made the cut for this week's edition of the Capitol Recap, Vermont Public climate and environment reporter Abigail Giles caught up with host Mary English.
Okay, what are the big issues and tensions in the State House this year?
Yeah, flooding is front and center, both finding the money to help communities and individuals who are still struggling after July and December storms, and planning for the next one. And that also means climate change is front and center. Lawmakers are weighing some policies that would put Vermont out ahead of the rest of the country on a few issues this year. As you've heard our colleagues report, the budget is tighter than it has been. Pandemic-era spending is running out, and lawmakers are trying to decide which new programs they'll continue to support. And interestingly, in our state house, a lot of the debate over what to do about climate seems to revolve around this question of, do we invest our limited resources in fighting climate change, in helping Vermonters use less fossil fuels, or do we put as much as we can towards adapting and planning for a warmer climate? Or is there a middle ground there?
Yeah, definitely some tensions there. What were some of the bigger bills that you were following this year?
Yeah, I'll start with the one that drew the most controversy this week. That's the bill that would make Vermont utilities source 100% of their power from renewables by 2035, with some on an earlier timeline. The bill also doubles the amount of new in-state renewable power they have to buy, and it creates a new requirement for new regional renewables. That bill did make the crossover deadline, big range in what people estimate it would cost. Some environmental groups and renewable developers say less than $200 million over the next decade. The Scott administration doubled down on their view that it's much higher than that. And the Joint Fiscal Office says probably between $150 and $450 million. Big unknown here is transmission upgrades. According to the grid operator, we're going to have to do a lot of them no matter what. And you're really seeing Republicans here say Vermont is doing enough in this space already. We shouldn't pay to reduce emissions regionally. And Democrats saying it's all one climate. And since new renewables reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, this is about a bigger future and not getting left behind.
Okay, so it sounds like that's to lower our emissions. Abigail, talk about adapting to climate change.
The big bill here is called the Flood Safety Act. That passed the Senate this week. It had bipartisan support. This bill would create a statewide program to restrict new development in river corridors. It would also beef up protections for wetlands in the state and beef up regulatory oversight of dams. Republicans and several Democrats said this should really go hand in hand with efforts to make it easier to build more housing in places that are not flood prone, because there are a lot of people who are still displaced. So lawmakers were really, again, wrestling with these big questions about the future. That one's headed to the House next.
And remind me, wasn't there a bill about collecting funds back, the Climate Superfund Act?
Yes. And as of the time we're taping, this one did make the deadline narrowly for crossover. It's modeled after the federal Superfund program. And essentially, big companies that refine and extract fossil fuels would have to pay for a share of the damage brought to Vermont by climate change and what it costs us to adapt. That share would be based on how much they contributed to global emissions, which caused climate change. And New York and Massachusetts have similar bills, but Vermont would potentially be the first state in the country to do this. Governor Scott says he wouldn't sign this right now. He does not want Vermont to lead first on this issue. He says he's worried about the cost of litigation. Oil companies don't part with their money readily. But the bill passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee with a unanimous vote and bipartisan support. Its proponents say that absent a federal climate superfund, this is really the best way to make sure that Vermont taxpayers aren't the ones footing what by best estimates is going to be billions and billions of dollars for a problem these companies have known their products were causing for decades.
And also chemical contaminants. That was front of center this year too, right?
Yes, it was. Lawmakers in the House also voted to advance a bill that would ban seeds coated with neonicotinoid pesticides in Vermont by 2027. New York State also has a ban on this timeline. These are pesticides that have been proven to be really sort of toxic for bees and pollinators. Right now, most of the corn and soy seeds in Vermont are coated with these chemicals. Lawmakers on the House Committee that deals with agriculture looked at a Cornell Literature Review, which examined more than 1,000 studies that confirmed coated seeds are harmful to pollinators like bees and don't provide an economic benefit to farmers. Democrats and environmental advocates applauded this moving with strong support to the Senate, but Republicans again expressed some concern about Vermont leading the way on this effort. And there's a bill from last year that is expected to come up after crossover in the House committee that deals with healthcare. It would ban PFAS, or so-called forever chemicals, in things like makeup and menstrual products, as well as clothes and turf.
And wasn't there a bill that made controversial changes to the Fish and Wildlife Board?
Yes, this was a big one, and it cleared the Senate to go to the House this week. It has proven to be one of the more controversial bills of the session. It proposed a requirement that the Fish and Wildlife Board, which writes regulations on hunting and trapping and fishing in Vermont, be equal parts people who hunt, trap, or fish, and those who do not. This was very controversial. The final bill was softened in an amendment this week, and this requirement was removed, but it does call for the board to represent balanced viewpoints. The original bill included a 50-foot setback for traps from public trails. That got scrapped this week. But a ban on hunting coyotes with hounds did stay. The final bill does take away the rulemaking power of the Fish and Wildlife Board, though. That will now be done by the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
That was Vermont Public Climate and Environment reporter Abigail Giles speaking with host Mary Engish for this week's edition of the Capitol Recap. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wortley. Talk to you Monday.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.